Y'all heard?
One, two, three.
Hey, everybody.
This is Y'all Heard. A podcast where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
Are not related.
And this is a show.
Ugh.
Where two elves hop off of their shelves and get on the microphone to tell you about the value of knowledge this holiday season. Because that's the best gift that you could ever receive.
You could have also went, this is a show, ho, ho. That would annoy me less. In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know. How are you?
Let's talk about clickbait.
Okay.
No, that's boring. I finished all the crap I have to do for teaching. So that put me on the other side of that. I felt good. Nobody emailed me to complain about any. Oh no, one of my students did send me links to a bunch of late work and they are saved on OneDrive and they're behind a password.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't tell me the password.
Did you tell her she could give you late work?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
otherwise,
I told her
I would
she
just
could
return with fuck yourself.
I told her she could give me late work. And then she proceeded to not turn in the late work or the final project. And then today she gave me the late work, but no final project. So
how many days after you told her she could give you it is this?
It was probably a week.
Fuck her. Fail her. I don't mean that cruelly, but Pete is sometimes too kind to people. And I don't like it. So that's how you are?
So, I'm looking at the news. And it says, Aldi to close all 2,600 stores in a 24-hour blackout. And doors will shut earlier than normal beforehand.
Wait, whose stores will close?
Aldi.
Wait. For a 24-hour blackout? Are they protesting themselves?
That's what I mean. Doesn't that sound alarming? It's just that they're closed for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like they're trying to make a statement or that something happened.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say Aldi's closed for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a psychotic
24-hour blackout.
That's an absolutely crazy way to say that.
That's how I am.
Well, I just finished telling Pete off the air how not good I am. But I will just say, I went to New York this weekend. SantaCon was happening. We did not mean to book a trip during that. If you don't know what SantaCon is, it's basically a gigantic fucking pub crawl where everyone dresses like Santa. And we saw a Santa get arrested. We saw a Santa crying, and we saw a Santa with blood all over his shirt. That was weird.
You sure it's not just a red shirt?
No, it was like splatters of blood as a cop was hauling him off.
Okay. You should see the other Santa.
Wait, I know there's something to tell you. I forget. Oh, also, I thought I was doing better at my social anxiety. But if you call me on the phone, I don't pick it up when you call. Like, if I'm in the middle of something, I'll never call you back forever. And there was this one time where I didn't pick up the phone from anyone that called me other than my parents and Pete for 2 years. Which, again, Mike Dominic, thank you for staying friendly with me despite that. I remember Mike Dominic used to leave me a voice, and I was like, maybe you're going through something. I'll be here when you're done. And he's still my friend. Anyway, I've noticed it's been ramping up again, but I don't want to tell my therapist. So if my therapist's listening, my social anxiety's getting worse. Save me. I'm too embarrassed to tell you.
Tis the season.
Yeah, that's how I'm doing.
So at the end of last episode, we kind of talked about holiday specials or movies. But maybe some people don't listen to the end of the show. Or maybe I just don't have a great idea for an icebreaker. So Marissa, what is your favorite directly Christmas special or movie? And do you have any favorite like things that are peripherally related to Christmas?
Wait, yeah, didn't we just say this?
Yeah, it was last week.
Oh. Okay. I guess my official
You had a triumvirate.
What does that mean again?
You had three things tied for number one.
Oh, I thought that's what that meant. But then I was like, is that what that means? Anyway, I would say the three that are like directly Christmas. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, cannot survive without seeing it. In second place, see it every year is, which I don't feel like I need to describe what National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is Happiest Season. It is a love story about a lesbian couple. One of them wants to take the other one to meet their family on Christmas, but she didn't tell her partner that her family doesn't know they're lesbians. So on the car ride over,
hilarity ensues.
Yeah. The partner just pretends to be the roommate and is ridiculous and has Kristen Stewart in it. And third favorite, which I don't manage to see every year, is Neo Yokio Pink Christmas, a brilliant American anime voiced by Jaden Smith. And words cannot describe what it is. It's real fucking weird and has to do with demons. Peripheral Christmas stuff. I love Trading Places, which in my mind is a Christmas movie, but it might be Christmas for like, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, I love that movie. Also, man, you know the movie Family Stone?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron hadn't seen that. Eventually it got better, but woof, that is an intolerable movie, which I love that movie. And I was like, oh, watch this classic. And I was like, this is an intolerable movie for a half hour. It's just, how much of a heinous bitch could Sarah Jessica Parker be? And how much of a heinous bitch family she's visiting be? Everyone is unlikable.
Yeah, that's probably one of the few Sarah Jessica Parker roles that I don't mind.
What? I'm sorry, you don't like her in First Wives Club?
We should probably move on.
Nope.
Because otherwise I have to tell you, I haven't seen the First Wives
Club. What the fuck? Holy shit, you know what it is though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fantastic movie. Watch it every so often. Oh, I'm sorry, before we move on, I just wanted to say, I'm not going to go into it, but I meant to say in my How Am I Doing that I'm still reeling. I don't read the news. Sorry, call me, ignorant. I don't fucking care. I can't survive it. But I saw what Trump wrote on Truth Social after Rob Reiner and his wife got stabbed to death by their own son. And I can't stop thinking about how fucked up it is.
Yeah.
Let's continue.
Yeah.
And this is Spinal Tap 2 just came out. And Rob Reiner isn't alive to appreciate the feedback.
Is it going to be good?
It looked funny to me. I love this. It's Spinal Tap 1. Anyway, good.
I think probably peripheral Christmas movies is one of my favorite genres. But I guess if I was going to go with specials, I would probably go with Charlie Brown Christmas. Seems like a classic. Hits on some, like, you know, major emotional points of the year.
Yeah. I'm deciding to not watch it this year because it's depressing a lot.
Yeah. I guess if anything could leave from it, it would be Snoopy.
Oh, yeah. I realize that, yeah, the Snoopy sections of every Charlie Brown special are its weak points.
Yeah. But boy, can he move merch.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I love Snoopy merch. I just don't want to see him. Oh, did I tell you I have a Snoopy digital advent calendar? Best purchase of my fucking life. I'll tell you more about that offline. Best $10 ever spent.
You guys, you gotta join the Patreon to find out about that.
Oh, also, I just want you to know that my husband makes me watch the Kenan and Kel holiday special every year.
Nice.
Yep.
I respect him for that.
I guess.
Not that I've ever seen it, but... So, speaking of Christmas specials and speaking of me coming up with the icebreaker, which is always nice because I can segue into my topic easier.
Okay.
This is our Christmas episode, and I kind of wanted to focus on some things related to some of our favorite Christmas movies or Christmas specials. So... I think there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes that we don't really know about in some of these pictures. So I thought that it would be worth addressing here in the show.
Wait, did you refer to a film as a picture?
Yes.
Wow, what are you? 100?
102.
Okay. Let's talk about the pictures.
So, Marissa, do you remember the beginning of Frosty the Snowman by chance? I probably should have given you a list of things to watch before this.
Is it that stop motion thing? I refuse to watch any of them.
No, no, no. Frosty the Snowman is an animated special.
Oh! And I know what it is, but no, I don't know if I've ever seen it.
At the beginning of the special, it's snowing outside and there's a bunch of kids who are looking out the window. They're at school. And, you know, that's very easy to relate to. And the teacher says, everybody get away from the window, sit down. I have a magician for us.
What?
And the magician comes in, and I believe he's another teacher in the school because his magic name is Professor Hinkle.
Okay.
Anyway, Professor Hinkle's doing his magic thing and it's not really working out right. But again, I think he works there. Like as a teacher. So this is kind of like a side gig.
Okay.
But anyway, he gets frustrated because things aren't working out right. And he throws his hat towards a trash can. It doesn't go in the trash can, but he throws it towards a trash can. And as it hits the ground, little feet pop out of it. And it's the rabbit that's in the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs away with the hat. Like he runs away underneath the hat, and then the hat eventually finds its way outside, and then it pops off of the rabbit, who's named Hocus Pocus, by the way. It pops off of Hocus Pocus's head and it lands on Frosty and brings Frosty to life.
Okay, there's a lot of layers here.
So Frosty is a product of theft. And
okay,
the next thing that happens in the special is that Professor Hinkle goes outside and the kids are like, holy crap, Frosty's alive. This hat's magical. And Professor Hinkle goes, that's my hat. And they're like, no, it's not. You threw it out. And
so
I don't
think
that's
bad.
I don't think that's right.
Which part? You don't think which part is right?
When they come back from commercial break, the narrator of the special says, now, of course, the hat did belong to Frosty and the children. That part must be made very clear. And I don't think it's clear at all.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, so,
that
go ahead.
Said in it, you just said?
Yes.
I feel like I should have watched this. This is weird.
Well, ultimately, I just wanted to draw everybody's attention to this because it's an allegory for colonization.
I hope the whole show is just about this.
So kids represent the colonizers, and Professor Hinkle represents the indigenous peoples of America.
Yep. And the hat represents the land?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, colonizers come to America. See, at least you're following me. Colonizers come to America. They think that they found this land that they could call their own. It's mysterious. Yeah. It's magical. But it was certainly not their own.
But why is he so hung up about his hat?
It's his damn hat. Who gives a shit?
Like, What? How much does does it cost? $200?
It's a magic hat, Marissa. It's priceless.
Wait, I'm gonna miss it. Did he know it was a magic hat? He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh okay. Did he know?
Also, you're taking the part of the colonizers.
Did he know the hat had the power to bring inanimate objects to life?
That's a question for a different day, because I don't think it brings all inanimate objects to life.
Okay, so what makes Frosty special?
That he has legs. That when the kids made him, he has...
I'm sorry. It only brings
legs.
Inanimate objects with legs to life.
Absolutely. Yes. That's yes. Cool. So, even though the land didn't belong to the colonizers, they thought that it did. And indigenous people were demonized as savages. And Professor Hinkle is also demonized as the villain of this entire special.
Hmm.
By the end of the special, Professor Hinkle is even calling himself evil when he's talking to Santa, because that's what he's been told the whole, the whole presentation.
Oh, that's weird.
At the beginning, indigenous people welcomed European settlers sharing hospitality and trade, but they never actually left the land unclaimed. Colonizers were playing, though, with a whole different rule book. Just like the kids and the narrator in this special, they just made up the rules as they went along.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that possession is 9/10 the law, but that's not actually a law.
Yeah.
So Professor Hinkle also didn't have any recourse in this. He is an quote unquote adult. But if you've ever been in an argument with children, if you take that to somebody else, they're just going to go, be the grown up and just let the kids go. So he can't actually fight for his hat, because then he's just going to look like a jerk. Anyway, in the end.
Which is fucked up. I think to a point you're allowed to fight against children.
In the end of the special, even Santa sides with the children. Just like the U.S. government giving reservations and some land back to the indigenous, he threatens Professor Hinkle and he says, you will be happy with what I give you for Christmas if you don't argue about this hat thing anymore.
Okay, don't love that.
Again, instead of giving these people back the land that they had settled and founded themselves, the U.S. government goes, oh, here's some parts of it that you can have back. Yeah, and you'll be happy just with that.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
So that's Frosty the Snowman.
Huh. Well, I'm glad I didn't watch that. Everyone sounds like a fucker.
So the other part about it is that in order to save Frosty, they put him on a train into the mountains. And this little girl, I think, gets frozen to death or something.
What?
Or she gets hurt. I don't know. But
there's a huge fucking difference between both things.
But Frosty has to decide if he wants to come back down the mountain and deliver the girl to the town so that she can get help, or stay in the mountains and let her die.
Oh, I hope he stays in the mountains. That's good television.
But what I thought was funny about the whole thing is that the little girl is named Karen.
Oh.
And I don't think of Karen as a little girl name.
No. So what does he decide?
Oh, he brings her back down, and that's when he runs into Santa. And Santa goes, oh, dude, keep the hat, and get your ass back to the mountains.
So Frosty doesn't die? Which, that's how he does die in the song.
Oh, right? No, that's right. Santa says, this is complicated. Santa says, Frosty won't die because Frosty is made of Christmas snow. And Christmas snow doesn't actually go away. It just disappears and then comes back the next Christmas.
Okay. Cool.
Anyway, Marissa, in 1981, the Handgun Control Amendments Act was proposed by Congress. Not by Congress.
What is this topic? What am I listening to?
And this was proposed, but it was not passed. The proposal was aimed to strengthen gun control through licensing, background checks, and regulating interstate sales. Perhaps if it went through in 1981, things would be a lot better than they are today.
And we were like, nope, let it burn.
So the focus was limiting one's ability to just frivolously buy guns on a whim.
I have a right to frivolously buy a gun and kill people if I want.
Right. Okay. You do. You do. You're protected.
That's what the Bar forefathers wanted.
In May of 1986, kind of going in the other direction, Congress passed the Firearm Owners Protection Act, which loosened some restrictions on firearms. Mm-hmm. It allowed for interstate sale of long guns. Marissa, long guns are physically long guns, like are rifles.
Are they like in different pieces?
They don't have to be.
I don't know. In movies, they're like...
Yeah, putting them together?
Yeah.
I guess all guns are kind of in pieces.
Not handguns.
Yeah, but you can take a handgun apart.
Cartridge. I don't know. Guns are stupid. And I don't care about guns.
It also legalized shipping ammunition via the U.S. Postal Service.
What the fuck?
It dropped the need for keeping records on ammunition sales as well.
What?
So now
what
you
does
have...
that hurt? Like, what? I understand. If you...
It's just like, we're selling so many damn bullets, I can't keep up with the receipts.
No, what the fuck? I understand if you want to wank it to your fucking gun, you fucking idiot. Which, by the way, if you don't like my takes, call me at 570-POD-1-1. Because fuck yourself. But like...
This is our first not child-friendly Christmas episode.
Sorry. But like, what the fuck? Like... Why you want to make it like we deserve what we get as a country. I don't deserve to be killed, but as a country, like, we deserve all this gun violence because, like, we did it to ourselves. Okay, I'm done.
In 1988, the movie Scrooged came out.
Oh, I love that movie.
And you may remember a character named Elliot Loudermilk who, on being fired and having his wife leave him, returns to his workplace with none other than a long gun.
Was that the guy who's played by Bobcat
Beausoleil?
When he's still, like, doesn't he not do that voice anymore?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to see some classic Bobcat Beausoleil.
And you don't want to watch Police Academy.
Yeah, watch Scrooge.
I've tried a few times to do an episode on Police Academy, but it's just like, man, Police Academy was real messed up.
I don't even know if I've seen Police Academy.
Within hours, this obviously rattled and disheveled man was able to acquire and use a firearm in the workplace. There was no need for a background check or even the dealer's discretion, apparently, when he sees this drunk man with his shirt hanging out of, like, with his shirt hanging out of his pants, come in and go, can I get a gun off you? There was no license required or anything like that. So among the different social ribbing in Scrooge, gun control was one of those social comments. Mm. And if the movie took place 5 years later, Loudermilk would not have been able he would have had to come in with a knife because he wouldn't have been able to get a gun, because that is when the Brady Bill was passed and he would have had to get a background check or wait for a grace period.
Wait, you still have to do that?
I think so.
Wow, that's a lot for us.
But that's how one Christmas movie can make such a difference. They pointed that out in the movie.
Really?
And helped get the gun law passed.
Wait, are you serious?
No.
Oh.
Like, Christmas movies are never serious. Do you think, but the Frosty the Snowman thing?
I just want you all to know, speaking of killing people at your job, I saw a movie at Pete's house once many years ago, and it really upset me. It upset me so much. It's about a guy, Christian Slater comes in and shoots up his coworkers, but like he only paralyzes. Oh no, what was it? I don't even fucking know. Long story short, I know what it is. he was gonna shoot all his coworkers, but then someone else ends up shooting his coworkers.
That's what, yeah.
And the woman he's in love with becomes paralyzed. And then, like, they get in a relationship. And the reason I'm traumatized is because I think there's a scene where she, like, has, like, a colostomy bag and it, like, something bad happens while she's, like, doing karaoke. I don't know. It's just a very depressing movie. And I couldn't figure out what movie it was for so long. And I thought I imagined it. And I felt a little crazy because I was like, what a fucking insane thing for me to imagine. And I recently realized it's real. And a lot of things I thought Pete's House ruined me. Like that one X-Files episode where I was eating pizza and someone's face melted off. And then I couldn't eat pizza for a while. So, sorry, that was a tangent. But just know that that movie upset me a lot.
If I can get the name of that movie, I'll edit it in here.
Okay, thank you.
That is He Was a Quiet Man, starring Christian Slater from 2007. Available free on all of the free streaming platforms.
I don't know if you ever picked up on this either, Marissa, but in the original, of course, the only one that matters, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original animated one.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Came out. If I'm right, I think it came out in 66.
That anyway, sounds good.
Early in the story, we find out that, and it's so quick if you're not paying attention, you would totally miss it, but you find out that the Grinch is 53 years old.
Ooh, at didn't least, know that. Okay.
Because he says he's been dealing with the noise from the Who's for 53 years.
Mm-mm, okay.
And that means that he was, have been born in 1913, assuming that the movie takes place in present time.
Yeah.
Which is almost a decade after Dr. Seuss himself, but close enough that they would be in the same generation, okay. Which is the greatest generation or the silent generation, depending on how you feel about them.
Okay.
And if you think about it, like what the Grinch hates about the Who's, do you remember anything in particular that he hates about the Who's?
I just thought, like, he didn't like their joy and shit.
Yeah, so he doesn't like their noise.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that's what they consider music. They make a lot of noise because they have joy.
Is it, like, actual music or are they like, eh, and they call it music?
Yeah, I think the latter.
Oh, well then fuck it.
He doesn't like their feasts either. And they enjoy eating a lot.
Are they eating weird shit? No. I don't mean like are they eating green eggs and ham?
He also doesn't like their games, and they play games all the time.
Are they playing like strip poker?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In the version I watch, they are.
Okay.
Essentially, he finds them to be rebellious, entitled, undisciplined, and apathetic. And this is often how, believe it or not, this is how boomers are portrayed in A Changing America in the 50s and the 60s, back when they were new.
Oh, so what are their parents? What are a boomer's parents? Are those greatest generation?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So the Grinch is part of the previous generation, and the Who's are part of the new generation, if you will. Because at the time, like, rock and roll was blowing people's minds.
How long did it take you to come up with these takes for each film? Have you been working on this for a month?
A very stressful week.
Okay.
So they had rock and roll. They had savory jello, right?
Yeah, all right.
They had protests.
I don't think they had savory jello when they were young. I don't think teenagers were like, yo, come to my house. I got some.
But the world was changing around them.
I'm going to Sally's house. I better not catch you guys sneaking that savory jello.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
And they also had long hair on men. That's crazy.
Ooh.
So the Grinch basically seeks to take something from them to make them feel the misery that he feels.
Which is middle age.
So one of the defining characteristics of the Greatest Generation was war.
Mm-hmm.
And LBJ.
Wait, what? Their characteristics was war?
That's true. Yeah, that is weird. Okay. I mean, maybe it's accurate.
Okay.
So Lyndon Johnson was born in 1908, and he was part of this generation. And during his presidency, he did his best to bring back that classic vibe of war. He wanted to try to unify the nation through war and throw folks into Vietnam. Mm. So again, war brought the country together when I was a kid. Maybe war will bring the country together now.
Ay, ay, ay.
But this was a bad war. I'm pretty sure everybody remembers that the Vietnam War was kind of like a failure on all fronts. And it took an entire decade for America to get out of it. So the Grinch wanted to make people feel like he did, so he took their fun things away. And in this case, stability was removed and replaced with like a questionable war that put some of their lives in danger. But again, it didn't work, right? So just like the Grinch stealing all the things from town, they still come out and they still get together and they're still having a fun time.
Yeah.
So instead, this country did not necessarily unify because of the Vietnam War. In fact, it fractured a little bit more because there was all sorts of different things happening. But again, he tried to prevent these unwanted changes like civil rights, like Roe versus Wade, like a sexual revolution, all these different things. Instead, the Grinch was forced to accept change when he saw that the Who's hearts were pure and true. So yeah, he adapted the best that he could, just like old people have to do in this world that we live in.
Oh, they definitely don't have to.
Moreover, the Grinch's heart grew two sizes too big and popped. And that also happens to old people.
Wait, his heart popped? Does he die at the end?
No.
Oh. Also, this is another horrible aside, but we were speaking about how war brought us together and it might again. Did you know that Trump just designated fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction?
Designated what?
Fentanyl.
Oh, wow. I thought you said Sentinel at first, and I'm like, is that some machine I don't know about?
Like, if he designated the Sentinels from X-Men as weapons.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's an idiot.
Yep.
Now, I know that you haven't seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because it's one of those.
And I will not.
Right. But you generally know the gist, right? He had a difference about him.
Yeah, it's the same story as the song, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a little bit more, like, as is always the case, with a little bit more. Because they try to contextualize some of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. He has a red nose. This is different. It makes him unique. And, of course, we all know that unique attributes make us the ridicule of others. So, famously, they used to call him names. In the special, they call him the following names: Fire Snout, Rainbow Puss, and Red Schnoz.
I don't like Rainbow Puss.
And also, of course, they wouldn't let him join in games. Not only that, but in the special, he was shunned by his father, Donner, because of the red nose.
Well, that's fucked up.
Donner says, after Santa says that, you know, with her nose like that, you're not going to make the sleigh team. Donner says, oh, Santa's right. He'll never make the sleigh team. Wait a minute. I've got it. We'll hide Rudolph's nose. Even Santa tells Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. What a pity.
Wait, ashamed of yourself for hiding your son's nose.
You should be ashamed of yourself because your son's nose glows.
Fuck all of them. This should be I'm sorry. I was going to say something very problematic.
It is only when they see Rudolph. It's only when they need Rudolph that they seem to accept him, much like some of the great neurodiverse visionaries of our time, like Albert Einstein, Bill Gates, Temple Grandin, Nikola Tesla, and Cher.
I don't know who Temple Grandin is. Should I?
You would if you looked them up.
Okay.
Only when their skills became useful were they celebrated and treated with respect. Einstein had a loving family, but he had a hard time at school. He developed later than other children and preferred to be alone. About school, he once wrote, It is in fact nothing short of a miracle that the modern methods of instruction have not yet entirely strangled the holy curiosity of inquiry. Again, he saw structure there that held him back from, you know, trying new things.
Yeah.
So while some people see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as a morality tale about embracing one's differences, it's really a story about exploiting people when their differences serve your needs.
Yeah.
While Donner learns the error of his ways and does apologize to his son, Santa Claus, who is a much more prominent figure, does not. In fact, in the sequel, he lends Rudolph out like a lawnmower to a neighbor, and he lends him to Father Time so that Father Time can help him, so that Father Time can find Baby New Year, who happens to be another freakishly deformed being because he has such big ears.
Okay.
So to Santa, Rudolph is still a commodity to be bought and sold, which I think is tragic.
Woof, what a fuckhead.
Now, you might sense that these are getting a little weaker as time goes on. So
yeah, I like them all equally.
I know this one's going to hurt your feelings a bit, but we could agree, as wholesome as they are, that the Muppets can be a little twisted sometimes, right?
Yeah, that's okay.
And in A Muppet Christmas Carol, the ending takes place at Bob Cratchit's house. You recall Bob Cratchit, played by Kermit. He's the guy who works in Scrooge's office, and he wants some coal, but he can't have some coal, anything like that. But now, this is at the end, there's a big turkey dinner happening. And in attendance, we have the whole Cratchit family, that cute little bunny who carries the big turkey. We have Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, who represent the charity for the poor from earlier in the movie. And we have his nephew, Fred. Period. But it's Christmas Day, and Fred's wife, Clara, is missing. Wherever could she be?
Okay.
I think that Scrooge learned a different lesson in A Muppet Christmas Carol than we usually think. The ghost of Christmas Yet to Come scares Scrooge, and he learns that by keeping all of this money and being so cheap, it didn't really get him anything for his future or his life, right? People were talking shit about him when he was dead, and they were talking about how cheap he was. But I feel like in this version, he learns that money is power, and power gets you respect.
Okay.
So now, on the other side of this, he decides to share his wealth with the people close to him, including his protege, Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
When the ghost of Christmas present, though, shows Scrooge his nephew Fred playing the game yes or no with his friends, Clara explains how she has come to the conclusion of what the correct answer in the game is. She says, an unwanted creature, but not a rat, a leech, or a cockroach. It's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
And this is insulting.
Yeah.
And while, you know, if you think about it, Fred is the one who's actually insulting Scrooge by saying, you know, yes and no to these questions. He's the thing. It's the thing that he has in his mind. Clara is the one who actually, like, says all the things in a row. And Clara is Fred's wife. But she's not a blood relative. And you've seen crime movies before. You want to keep somebody in line. You hurt the ones that they love.
Yeah.
So Clara couldn't come out because after he gave the bunny the money to go buy the turkey, he threw another sack down to have somebody beat up Clara. Yeah, it's tragic. A lot of tragedy in these movies.
Yeah, okay. This one's the stretchiest of stretches.
Well, this one's no stretch at all. Finishing up in 1992, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, graced movie theater screens. How do you feel about the Home Alone franchise? Sorry, how do you feel about the first two Home Alone movies? We all know the franchise sucks shit after that.
I love them. I get bored during the parts with the Wet Bandit, but I like the parts without the Wet Bandits enough that I can endure it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you might recall in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Kevin McAllister's in New York, all alone. He's living it up. He's staying at a hotel. And in his journeys, he meets none other than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a coordinated effort by Trump to gain power in the future. Because you agree that Home Alone is a kid's movie.
Yes.
Right. So this movie taught children. Like, I don't expect that a six-year-old watching the movie was like, oh, hey, it's Donald Trump. Cool.
Yeah.
Instead, family members were like, oh, it's Donald Trump. And then kids saw their family members recognize him and thought, oh, this is a person who should be recognized.
Yeah.
But I say that it's coordinated, and it is so fleeting, by the way. I say that it's coordinated because in 1994, he went on to appear in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which was a cool show at the time, also for kids and families.
Yeah.
Then he was in The Little Rascals, which was a big movie at the time. And
wow.
He appeared in Pizza Hut commercials, Whoopi Goldberg movies, ironically, The Nanny, and more things throughout the 90s. Yeah, all of this...
Huh? You gave specific movies for all, but you decided, quote, Whoopi Goldberg
movies? Yeah, because it's been more than one.
Okay, fair enough.
All this time, he's building the illusion that he should be someone that you know. Like, by doing all these cameos, it's like he has some power and some weight. Otherwise, he would just be another face on the screen.
Yeah.
So all these shows and movies were so big with white people. And in 2016, Trump scored 63% of the white male vote in the presidential election, and his vision came to fruition.
Okay.
Now, Pete, you're a white man who saw The Fresh Prince and Home Alone 2. Why didn't it work on you? Because I didn't like Home Alone.
You don't like Home Alone?
I was forced to watch Home Alone as a child. What? I can appreciate it now, but as a child, there was a kid. You know how you get put into situations where, like, your family knows another family and they have a kid who's around the same age as you, so they just put you together. Well, I thought this kid was really annoying, and his whole entire life was seeing Home Alone over and over and over again.
Like, not at Christmas?
Oh, no, definitely not.
That's
because
really
Home Alone weird. Didn't take, well, Home Alone did take place at Christmas, that's right.
Yeah.
So I didn't like Home Alone. And I don't think that I ever fully saw it again until much later in life. But some people do watch it every year.
Yeah.
And each year it's kind of, you know, reinforcing. I also, as you may or may not know, don't love Will Smith. Even though I did like the show back in the day, I didn't really watch it all the time. I definitely didn't like the Little Rascals. My mom couldn't stand Fran Drescher's voice, so we were not allowed to watch The Nanny, even if we wanted to.
Okay.
I did like Whoopi Goldberg movies of the 90s.
Just all of them as a genre?
But my sister worked at Pizza Hut, so that Pizza Hut commercial would have done nothing for me.
Okay.
But, again, it worked.
So that's why we have Trump?
Yep.
Cool.
One of the many reasons, of course.
No, just that.
So I just wanted to give everybody a little something to think about when you sit down this Christmas, to recognize the power of even a once-in-a-year movie that you know, and I think it's also worth thinking of, well, we watch these things every year. Maybe every year we are being fed some sort of PSYOP message and we should be a little bit more judicious about how frequently we watch these things.
What PSYOP is a National Lampoon serving?
Not all of them are. one of nostalgia.
You at least like that movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Except for what's his face?
Oh, no. What? Oh.
That annoying character. Andy Quaid?
Oh, Randy Quaid, yeah.
Randy Quaid, okay, yeah.
Actually, it's Juliette Lewis in that, isn't it?
Yeah, she annoys
really can't stand her.
But she doesn't do much in the movie.
Right. That one's fine. Anything else with Juliette Lewis, I'm out.
What else is she in? Like,
she's in a bunch of stuff.
Besides Rubiana Ribisi. No one is named Rubiana Ribisi.
No. Giovanni.
Okay.
I don't even think I know which one you're talking about.
Where they play, I think they both play him and Juliette Lewis play people on the spectrum who fall in love.
She, yeah. That's like half of her filmography is playing people on the spectrum.
Well, I think she's hot. And that's enough for me.
I forget the name of the show. It's on the tip of my mind, but I'm not getting there. But that new show.
That's
on
the same tip of your mind.
That new show, or not new, but fairly old show now, with all the girls that eat a girl while they're stuck.
The movie is not about all the girls eat a girl. That's part of it.
No, it's a show. Right. I want to watch that, but I have a hard time with Juliette Lewis.
If you watch it, tell me how gory it is. I have a feeling it's way too gory for me. But people keep telling me, oh my God, it's so amazing. You'll love it. And I'm like, leave me alone.
You can die happy without seeing it.
You know what I'm going to die happy without seeing it? Which, if you're a person who told me to watch it, I'm sorry, this isn't to spite you, but like, just too many people have said it. I am going to go out of my way to die without seeing K-pop Demon Hunters. That's because I went
impressive.
To Korea. Does not mean I like K-pop as a unit. Also, I like two male-fronted K-pop bands. Does not mean I like K-pop as a genre. If I like a rock band, would you then assume I like every single thing where a rock song exists? Like for some reason, if you like one K-pop thing, everyone thinks you love K-pop as a unit.
If you like the song Last Christmas, it doesn't mean that you like all of the Wham catalog.
Yes.
I'm just trying to keep it back to Christmas.
So yeah. Yeah, sure. So yeah, my point is I'm not going to watch K-pop Demon Hunters. Stop telling me to! Anyway.
Isn't there a season two?
It's a movie.
Isn't there a sequel?
I don't know, probably.
Plugs, 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 plugs. I'm doing a live plug song. Mm-hmm. Marissa, do you have any plugs?
Well, if December hadn't started already, I would plug the Snoopy Digital Advent Calendar. But since it already started, nope, I don't.
I told you guys last week that I have a new podcast called Grim Pickens. And three episodes are out now, so you all can look that up. Pickens is spelled P-I-C-K-I-N-S. And you can listen to me read you Grimm's Brothers fairy tales.
Do you like have commentary?
I will say this. If you listen to the show and you're like, I don't like how Pete comments in the middle of the story, I don't do that very often as time goes on.
Okay.
I save most of my comments for after.
Because it should be clear by that question. I haven't listened yet because my assumption was you'd really just read them, which I don't know that I want to just hear them. But if you comment, then I want to hear them.
I had two reasons that I wanted to do this. One was I don't feel like there's a bunch of podcasts that are super short.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just want something super short that I could like listen to when I leave my house and it's over by the time I get to work.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
And the second was I wanted to do, I forget what they call it, like what the proper name is, but I wanted to do advertisements in it and I wanted to try to make money off of something, but, that doesn't work.
Why?
Because you have to host with like certain companies and then you have to pay the company to host with the company unless it's Spotify and then you can make money back. It's almost like you have to pay them money and then hope that you get money back rather than.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm going to plug not leaving your house for Christmas because all those traveling.
I'm gonna plug not leaving your house ever.
No, that shouldn't be what I plug. For Christmas, I'm gonna plug. I didn't watch it yet. Well, let's all support Alicia Silverstone and watch. is it called Merry Xmas or just Xmas? Let me see. She has a new Christmas movie that looks stupid. No,
it does. It does look stupid.
Is it called Xmas? What the fuck is it called?
Yes. Yeah, EX, right?
Wait. Oh, wait. No. Am I wrong? Never mind. That has Blake Lively in it. What's the fucking one with Alicia Silverstone?
It's similar.
Wait, yeah. How many fucking Christmas movies are there with people who
a
are
merry little exes? A Merry Little Xmas.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'm plugging. I didn't see it yet, but I'm going to pitch to my husband when he comes to the store.
This is going to be great, guys.
We're going to see A Merry Little Xmas.
The last time Marissa pre-plugged something was The Hand That Rocks the Cradle reboot.
God, that was so bad. That was so tonally fucked up. That ruined my Halloween because that's what we watched at Halloween. And Aaron's like, that's not even a horror movie. And I'm like,
well, good. At least he's learning that.
Yeah, at least he is. But I was like, I ruined it. Anyway.
You also get Melissa Joan Hart in this one, guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to plug that. I'm also going to plug A Heated Rivalry, which doesn't have to do with Christmas, but it's hockey, and I didn't see it yet. This is me plugging two things I didn't see. It's about two male hockey players rising in the ranks and their forbidden love. That's it. What's it called?
And that's called A Bitter Rivalry?
No, Heated Rivalry.
Oh, Heated, of course, because it's horny.
Yeah, it looks very horny.
Is this,
Yeah.
Is this an anime?
No, it's a live-action show based on a best-selling book written by a woman. So it's, I don't know.
It's horny.
With a gay love story written by a woman, but yeah.
Oh, actually, you know what? You may have seen this already, everybody, but I'm mostly suggesting it to Marissa. You should watch this Tubi original movie called Hag.
What is that?
I'll tell you about it off the air.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wait, we're not plugging anything else? Like our number?
Yeah, whatever, if you want to.
570-PODWAD1. Email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
And thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.